through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you doing?
I am doing very well, in fact. It's just a massive cloud has just passed over small sliver of light that comes in the BFM studios, and it's got very ominous.
This is ominous as heck.
Just as we turn the microphones on, are you bringing us like bad news or something? What's going on?
Kinda. I don't know. I'm just reporting on what's happening.
What is happening in the media at the moment?
I had a fix on the weather. There is like a thunder and lightning crash in my sting, so
maybe that's what
it is. We're making it happen. Right. What's the first thing I wanted to do? So there's a few things. There's quite a few things going on in the bloody media
at the moment.
On the home front, MediaWorks has completed an internal investigation into complaints of misconduct and sexual harassment. So there's two investigations happening. One's internal, one's external. The internal one's completed and found that no current members of staff have sort of had upheld complaints of wrongdoing. They've all been cleared. However, the external review is still happening.
Mm-hmm,
now,
okay.
In saying that, there's very particular wording that they put out about that. So I'll just read the statement from the CEO, Cam Wallace, who, by the way, started this year and has just had quite a lot to deal with if you think back to John Banks.
Crikey.
You know, the incident about a month ago or so. So CEO of MediaWorks said, "While we would not normally share anything of a confidential nature about any of our employees, in this case, I can share that there have been no findings of misconduct in relation to any of our current staff at The Rock." Now, was that an advised statement to make to the public? I would say probably not.
Mm.
You've got an external investigation still pending. And also, when you get into the particular verbiage of that, saying no current members of staff, and staff's already reported that two people were stood down at the announcement of the investigation and one person quit, it sounds a bit clutching at straws to go, no, every single currently serving member of staff are good. So,
it'll
be interesting to see what the external investigation brings up for that.
We will watch that space.
In TV land in New Zealand, pop stars, TVNZ made the decision to put it simultaneously on TV 1 and 2.
Whoa!
I believe this may be the first time they've ever done it in the network's history, and people hated the decision. it's not obviously going to be universal, but the vast majority of feedback was very negative of this decision. It took over Fair Go on TV1 and The Casketeers for its premiere. And
is it just for the premiere that they're doing that, or is it for the whole duration of the show?
I wish I knew the answer to that question. I think it's probably just for the premiere, and actually I wouldn't be surprised if they did it to test the waters.
Right.
But they've got regular programming there that rates its ass off. Like,
yeah.
I don't think, as unconscionable as it seems to replace Fair Go for one night, I definitely don't think you could justify ever doing it for an entire season of Pop Stars.
They'd have to do a bloody episode on it then, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would. Yeah, someone would have to ring Fair Go about that. Oh my God, they can't. Fair Go's gone. Now you have to talk to Kimbra to complain.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it. Did you see it? You must have watched it.
I watched part of it. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah?
To be honest, it was great. I think Kimbra is like the Simon Cowell cop. Like,
it's crazy that they got Kimbra.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Such a good get. Talent wise,
it's very wholesome. I'll tell
you what.
That's
what I've heard.
It's way more wholesome than like the X Factor and all that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I've heard that it potentially lacks a bit of teeth because it is Kiwis. So like,
it's just like, you're so good. Love that.
Our emo is not getting like grizzled reality TV producers to find people who have these illusions of grandeur who can't hold a note. We've actually got some pretty talented young people on there who can sing.
These people get up and they're like, "Hey, I'm like 17 years old. Here's my guitar," and then they sing this song, and you're like, "Whoa, that's really cool." So yeah, it's pretty wholesome. Some energy.
It's kind of nice that Kiwis are putting that kind of spin on what is usually quite a cynical and awful format.
Who will be the new True Bliss?
But at any rate, yeah, so very interesting decision for TVNZ to do that. And I think what it kind of reflects as well is this long-running problem that TVNZ's had, arguably, according to me, with 1 and 2, that they've tried to kind of bring them together a little bit.
Right.
They've especially changed the brand of TVNZ 1 to try and chase younger audiences because that's where all the ad revenue dollars are in that 18 to 35 market.
Right.
And in doing so, they've sort of muddied the waters about what those two brands are about. Like when we were kids, I think you probably agree with this, TV1 was, you know, for our parents and our grandparents, it was a very staid, boring, trustworthy. It's why the news was always
news
so
was.
Highly rated and trusted on TVNZ1 because it kept this very sterile kind of look and feel about it. But it'll be interesting to see if they keep doing moves like that. It feels like, in terms of the public backlash and how the pop star's debut was received, which wasn't, it was mixed, I would call it. I don't think they'll repeat this experiment anytime soon. Minister Chris Farfoy of Broadcasting had an in-depth conversation with Duncan Grieve, who's the founder of The Spinoff, on The Spinoff's media podcast called The Fold. Chatted about a whole bunch of stuff, a lot of conversation around the RNZ and TVNZ merger. Not a whole lot of new information, which you kind of expect talking in a podcast. If they're going to have something to announce, they do it in a proper release. But one of the most interesting things that they were talking about is that Minister Farfoy was saying the government has no appetite to keep funding news media in New Zealand to the tune that they're doing it at the moment, which in some ways makes sense because there's some one-off pots of money that are rolling around at the moment, which are basically COVID response funds. But the other crisis that those funds are responding to is this erosion of revenue from news media by Google and Facebook predominantly. And just market forces of stuff shifting to the internet and these big giants absorbing all of that money that the companies are held offshore. It's kind of an interesting sticking point that the minister seems to not view that
as a crisis in the same way.
I think a lot of people in the media saw COVID as the breaking point, but it wasn't the genesis of a crisis.
No.
Like, the crisis was long running and had a long lead up, and then COVID just kind of finally pushed everything over. So it's interesting that even with this centre-left government that we've got under Labor, they are very careful to broadcast the fact that they don't want to keep funding public news media to the tune they are at the moment. And last little bite I'll get into is Bomber, who some people may remember, Martin Bradbury, who I would describe as a vociferous but probably ineffective leftist blogger. Used to be a broadcaster on Channel Z back in the day, most famously, and has kind of knocked around the radio traps for years. He's joining Magic Talk, apparently, which is an interesting response to the public going, hey, you've got too many crazy right-wing people on your station. Is they're like, okay, we'll get a crazy left-wing person on.
Hey, balance. It's all about balance.
Oh, sorry, I did have one more as well. The BBC got a record number of complaints about their Chris Philip death coverage.
Whoa.
Over 110,000 complaints.
Chris Philip.
Prince Philip. Sorry, did I say Chris Philip?
You said Chris Philip. I
haven't slept a lot the last few days.
Chris Philip.
I'm combining my media people now. Prince Philip. Hey, this just in. Prince Philip died. He was 99. The BBC shut down every channel that they own and just did wall-to-wall coverage. Oh, and man. Everyone was like, this is probably a bit much.
So they got complaints about that.
Yeah,
so
that was the majority of them.
Because I was like, well, are people complaining because it wasn't, stately enough?
Or there was some of that, but they were in the minority. I don't know how they've categorised them all so quickly, but they have. They had to streamline the complaints process because they were getting so many, midway through. But a lot of complaints as well about the fact that Prince Andrew was featured in the coverage despite his link to a deceased alleged child sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein.
Heck, what a wild week to be in the media, eh?
It'll be really interesting when the Queen dies, because the BBC is still so attached to the monarchy and all of the protocols you've got to do around it, and the public have drifted heaps. There's if you Google the plan of what's supposed to happen when the Queen dies, it's crazy. The economy's going to apparently tank. Because they have to close all the banks for 3 days or something.
Oh, whoa. Geez.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It will be interesting as well because she rates so much higher in popularity stakes than any other member of the royal family. So what will it actually mean for the monarchy? ... All right. Well, thank you very much for that one.
A pleasure.
We'll talk to you again next week. When's your comedy show?
Thank you very much, Rachel. It's Classy Warfare. It's kicking off on, 11th of May, I think, in Auckland.
Sounds about right.
If you go to comedyfestival.co.nz, look up Tim Bat. I'm there.
Sure. See you, Tim.
Bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. You